Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Do not conform. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, you see that? Then, there's a result. You will be able to test and approve what God's will is, pleasing and perfect will, His perfect and pleasing will. You will be able to discern. You will be able to enjoy it. You will be able to know. You will be able to live it, and you will be pleased with it when you live God's will. Now, I know that we all go through different difficulties in life, and there might be times in life in which God allows some things in our life to, like, I didn't want this, I don't like this, I despise this. But the truth is that even if we put it all together the way God sees it, and technology is so awesome. I want you to think about this. Do you use a GPS at all? Once in a while, right? Use a GPS. I know you don't use it very often because you know your way around town, right? But when you do, one of the things about the GPS is that it gives you a picture. It gives you a panoramic view of what's going on, not just in front of you, behind you, but way, way, way ahead of you out there, right? When you're in your car and you're sitting in traffic and you're thinking, what is going on? This is not moving. You just don't know. You're waiting for the guy on the radio to tell us the traffic, and it takes him 58 minutes before he gets you to traffic again, right? Because it's one of those things. But then you turn on your GPS, and your GPS gives you different colors, right, for the different roadways, and they show you when the roadway is in red. You know there's a traffic jam there. It'll give you suggestions. You can zoom in or zoom out and watch the whole city move or not. You can see where it's at. And that's the way God sees our journey in this life. The problem is that we don't see it that way because we're down here. We're stuck in this traffic in the journey of life down here, and we can't see it from up there. But God is saying, you know what? Don't worry about that because I got it under control. I want you to conform to me. I want you to stick to my plan. Because if you do, I see it all. I know what's going on. And I'll lead you. I'll show you the way. And it will be pleasing. And you're going to be all right. You see, the thing is that most of the time, we're so worried about changing our circumstances. We're so worried and praying to God to change our circumstances. While God is not interested in changing my circumstances, He is more interested in changing me instead of the circumstances, especially my mind, because that's where it starts. Have you noticed that your mind does not want to obey you? Have you noticed that? Your mind is disobedient. You try to think about something and you go the other way. If you came to pray this weekend, most likely you experienced some of that at moments where you were praying and then you got distracted. And your mind wants to go somewhere else. You're like, no. Come right back up in here. We're praying. We're talking to God right now. We're not going to... No! Right here! And you got to almost like scream at your mind because you want to focus and you want to bring it back because it's disobedient. So, you know. Now, I know that one of the earlier sermons, I think it was the first one, I give you like 11 reasons. And that was a long one. Yeah, right. But I give you like 11 reasons, that mention why is it so important that I control or that I learn to manage my mind. And that's what we're going to talk about today, electing or choosing to manage my mind. And why? I will give you 3 reasons from the 11 that I gave you on the first sermon. I'll just go briefly over them. Because my thoughts control my life. That's one of the reasons why. That's why they're not on your paper, but you have them from your first paper when you came to that sermon. So don't worry. If not, they're on the website. You can look them up. No problem. But because your thoughts control your life, that's why it's so important that you choose to manage your mind. Think about it. If you have sick thoughts, most likely you're going to be sick. If you have sinful thoughts, you're going to be sinning. You think about it. If you had good thoughts, then most likely you're going to do good. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. And this word heart here can be either used as mind or heart when it comes to the Hebrew. For everything flows from it. You know, everything flows from it. Everything starts right there in what you're thinking, what's going on inside you. Let me ask you something. Do you control what you eat? Well, no, because you don't cook and you just eat whatever mama makes, right? No. No, you control what you eat because you decide whether you're going to eat it or not. Then you have to face mama after she done cooking, you know, for 3 hours slaving over the stove. And then you're like, I don't want that. What? I don't know. John seems kind of worried over there. Sure. Yeah, John, of all people, right? He's not worried about that. It's something else, right? But you think about it. You control what you eat. Therefore, you need to be controlling your thoughts also. You need to be controlling what you drink, what you eat, what you do, what you allow in your mind. Why is it that we control what we allow in our bodies, even though we don't do such a great job? But we do an even worse job when it comes to our minds. Every action starts with a thought. Ground on your mind. And you know that is a battle. Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul talks about this battle. And he says, for in my inner being, way inside of me, I delight in God's law. I don't mind God's will. I don't mind what God says for me to do. I don't mind the plans of God for my life. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. You see that? Sin is at work. This is the Apostle Paul saying sin is at work in me. You see, God has cleansed us from unrighteousness through the blood of Christ. But the process is not done yet. It's a process. We're going to get there when we face God, when we meet God, when finally He comes and He perfects the work in us. In the meantime, we're still trying to fight it out. Somebody has said, the habits, the hurts, and the hang-ups that mess you up, that's what Paul was talking about. All that stuff that's just messing you up inside. And if you notice, there is a war. The Apostle Paul says there is a war. So it's important that we understand that we cannot be idle. We cannot just sit there and think, hey, this is going to all work out. That's why we walk around with such mental fatigue. That's why we get stressed out. That's why there is so much depression and so much anxiousness out there. Because we're in a constant battle. And if we don't know how to fight it, if we don't fight it right, that's how you fall into all of these predicaments. Why is this battle so intense? Because that's the greatest asset that Satan has if he wants to get to you, your mind. That's where it all starts. That's if he can get your attention or if he can distract you from God's attention, that's how he starts. That's how he messes up and you come to the behavior that results from a distracted mind away from God. That's what he does. It messes up your thoughts. It messes up your emotions. Now, another reason why is because it's the key to peace and happiness. You want to be happy. You want to have peace in life. Then you need to manage your mind. Because if you don't manage it, it leads to tension. But a managed mind leads to tranquility. You see that? There's a big difference. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure. A managed mind leads to peace. When you don't manage your mind, it leads you to stress. When you manage your mind, it leads to serenity and strength. There's a difference. You see, if you want to be in conflict, just let your mind go. But if you want to keep it, bring it captive, that chaos and that conflict turns into confidence. Your faith will grow. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. Now, I know that you have all of these statements, or you're going to have all of these statements that we're about to mention here on your paper, but the actual biblical references, they're not in your paper. So some of them might catch your attention, and you might want to write them down, you know, like Romans 8, 6, Romans 7, and chapter 7, verses 22 to 23, Romans 12, chapter 2, Proverbs 4, 23. Well, you know, you'll pick up on them, and you can write them down if you want to, the scripture references for later. But you see, if there's a battle then. There's a sinful against the holy, and you have this war inside of you. And there, you may be thinking, later we're going to talk about some more specifics. But we're going to talk about how to manage your mind according to think about your relationships, your future, your past. What do you do with that when you rethink your past, rethink your future, rethink what you've been up to, rethink your relationships and all of that stuff and all of the situations? We're going to talk about that later. But I'm going to give you three F's today. Do you deserve an F? Do you want an F? Nobody wants an F. Well, I'm going to give you three, Rosa. I'm going to give you three today. Three F's, but they're good F's. So I'm going to talk to you about three things. Number one, you have to feed your mind. Number two, you have to free your mind. And number three, you have to focus your mind. Danielson, focus. 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 Okay? We're going to talk about those three. So let's just get started. Number one, didn't I just say that? I must feed my mind. And what must I feed it? I must feed my mind with the truth, right? The truth. The truth. Yes, we have to feed our minds with the truth. And the truth, of course, is we're talking about the truth of God. And the truth of God is not just a thing. It has a name. The truth is Jesus Christ. And this is a revelation of himself. And we have to do that all the time, every day, continuously. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says that the truth will set you what? Free. Free. And a lot of people that quote that verse don't realize that the truth is not just any truth. Jesus is referring to his word. Jesus is referring to himself. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, people need more than bread for life, right? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. You need the word of God to live. If you're not receiving the truth, if you're not reading the Bible every day, guess what? You're dying. You don't want to believe it. And if you don't want to believe me, then you're too proud to admit it. And God despises the pride in your life. Think about it. If you're not getting into this word every day, if we're not reading the word and checking the truth every day and analyzing it and processing in our lives every day, then we're not eating. That means our spirit is dying, is sick, is ill. And how can we call ourselves any good Christians if we're just not doing that? It's sad what we do. You see, there's a lot of things out there that are truth, but they won't set you free. This is what sets you free. You know what? I can show you. I can teach you. Well, yeah, sure. This is just an example. I could teach you how to program a computer. And that's, you know, and you will get that truth, and that won't save you. That won't set you free. I can teach you all there is about the truth of mosquitoes. And that's not going to set you free. Right? You can know a lot of truth out there. You can know a lot of truth, but that's not it. It's the truth of God that we're talking about that needs to be feeding our minds. It needs to be in our minds. It needs to be right up in here. We need to be reading it. We need to be seeing it. We need to be hearing it. Psalm 119, verse 147. Check this out. Arise before dawn. Maybe Ray can tell us this verse, right? Arise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. You see, I rise in the morning. I get up early. This means I get up early in the morning. Before the sun comes out, I'm already placing my hope in your word. How can you place your hope in something? Because you know that something. You analyze. Before you put your hope or place your hope on anything, you analyze it. You check it out. And then you decide whether you place your hope in it. And to put your hope in the word of God, I want you to think of something. I want you to think promises. Promises, right? People give you promises and you hope that they're committed to those promises, and you hope and you pray that they will fulfill those promises. You come to an altar and you say, I do. And you hope that I do is until Jesus comes, right? When you say you take a loan, and the loan that you take out of the bank makes you sign a note because they hope and pray that you pay, right? They put their hope into you are going to pay because you got good credit, because of this and that, because of your character, because of whatever. But there's, you see, the Bible has over 7,000 promises. Is that enough for you and me? Come on, over 7,000 promises. Somebody decided to go through and count them all. 7,500, I don't know, over 7,000. And if you need hope, and if you feel helpless, and if you feel hopeless at any time, then you need to be spending more time in the pages of this book. Because there are promises for your whole life. Anything that you can think of. If you want to be a hopeful person, then you need to be in the promises of God. There's too many of them for me to tell them to you. So, become a person that knows the promises and relies on the promises of God, because He is truth. And whatever He promises, He will fulfill. He is faithful. Remember that a promise is only good, only as good as the person who gives you the promise, right? I know that in marriage it happens a lot. You know, when you tell your husband, hey, honey, can you do this? Yeah, I'll do it right in about 10 minutes. And you go, yeah, right. You know, like, hey, honey, why don't you take the trash out? Yeah. Wait till a commercial. Yeah. Yeah, right. And then your wife says, I'll go out there with you. Okay? And you're like, stop. Yeah. Well, come on. I'll walk outside with you. And I'm like, no. Wait till the commercial. Come on. I'm even going to go out there with you. Okay, shut up, woman. We'll take the trash out now, right? I guess my promise to her is only as good as me. Does that say something about me? Does that say, oh my God. So you think about the character and the word and the experience you've had with that person. You think about it, so like, has that person been faithful to me before? Can I be hopeful? Or does this person have a tendency to not fulfill their promises? Should I be hopeful or not? So you think about it. You base it on the character of the person making the promise. And God can be trusted. His name is truth. And He is faithful. He is holy. He is righteous. He is almighty. Should I continue? We don't need to. We know that we can trust Him. Is there anyone else in the universe that you can trust more than God? No. Therefore, you need to get into His promises, because sooner or later you're going to need them. When you're in a hospital, or when you're experiencing unemployment, or when you're experiencing financial difficulties, when you're experiencing relationship difficulties, when you're experiencing stress, when you're anxious, you need the promises of God to give you hope, to help you become a hopeful person. Now look at Psalm 119 and verse 97. Oh, I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. That sounds just like me. I'm being sarcastic. I hope you know that. We need to be thinking more about... Now, let me ask you something. You can only think about what's in your mind. Huh? You cannot think about something that's not in your mind. You get that? If it's not in your mind, you can't think about it. Think about that. So in order for you to be thinking about the Word constantly, every day, continuously, all the time, then most likely you're going to have to read it and learn it in order for you to be reminded all day and be working through it. So it's important that you take your Bible every day, because throughout the day, sooner or later, you're going to remember what you read in the morning, and you can meditate on that, and you can think about that. And how can we say that we love the Word of God if we're not going to the Word of God? Usually when you love someone, you're drawn to them, aren't you? Oh my God, when people fall in love, they don't want to hang up the phone. They don't want to quit coming. They don't want to... They're everywhere, like white on rice, you know? They're just everywhere. And you just can't shake them off. That's the way it should be with the Word of God, with God Himself. We ought to be so after Him, because He came and sought us first. Oh my God, He has promised so much. And You need to have the word in order for you to use it during the day. Psalm 16 and verse 7. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. And once again, the word heart, the word mind could be interchangeable here. I want you to think about that. Even at night, I have to go to bed and thinking about what God wants from me, what God says about himself and about me. I heard a pastor who said that what he did at the beginning of his Christian life was that he put the Bible on the nightstand. How many of you do that? You know, maybe some people do. They have their Bible on their nightstand, and that's a pretty good thing. Now, he said, I noticed something that when I put it on the nightstand, I was probably more prone to go to it. But then the Bible was sitting right there on his nightstand, and then he started ignoring it. And then he noticed, wait a second, I can't do that. So he opened the Bible, and he said he keeps it in on his nightstand open. Before he can get to the alarm clock or before he can get to anything else, he has his Bible open. So the first thing when he opens his eyes to go hit the snooze button or whatever button he's going to press, the first thing he's going to go and glance over the Bible. So he says, it's the first thing I see. And since it's already open, I'm more prone to go look at it. And then at night, when I read it, I put it back on the nightstand every day. So when I wake up and when I go to bed at night, the Bible is always open there. It works for him. Maybe it could work for you. Maybe it could work for me. But we need to be more about the Word of God, even at night, not just during the day. Now, this is very serious because I want you to think about something. When David wrote this psalm, and he's talking about, you know, at night, I'm thinking and meditating upon your Word because you counsel me. At night, your word is what instructs me, is what helps me. Then I want you to think about something. This is a man who's being followed. This is a man who's being sought to be killed. He's in caves, sleeping and hiding and trying to escape death. And yet, he has time to meditate on the word of God and his truth. I wonder, we wonder why it went so good for him. Because the word of God. In Psalm 119 also, in verse 95, the wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. You see that? Ponder. You know what ponder is, right? You're there and you're pounding in your mind. You're thinking about it. So that's what he's doing. You see, when you go to the news, when you go on TV or when you go to the internet and look, it's just so discouraging, everything that we hear on the radio. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And people get discouraged. We tend to get discouraged, get hopeless. But why? When we have a God that is a God of hope, we just need to keep ourselves buried in his good news and not in the bad news that we hear in this world. Okay? So the first thing I have to do is feed my mind the truth. Number two. Second thing I need to do is what? Come on, you got it there. Free. Free my mind from all these destructive thoughts. Free my mind from destructive thoughts. That's what I need to do. See, you need to liberate your mind. Your mind needs to be delivered. Your mind needs to be set free. It needs to be released. Now, that sounds really easy, right? Not so easy, right? It's a lot easier said than done, of course. But how do we do this? How does God deliver us? And why is it so hard? Well, didn't he say and didn't Paul say that it is a battle? It is a fight. We need to be ready to fight. From the moment you wake up to the moment you close your eyes at night, there are three forces that are constantly fighting in your mind for your mind to gain ground. They're fighting constantly. And you may have good intentions, right? You have all the good intentions when you open up your eyes in the morning to do the right thing, to go into the Word, to worship, and to, yeah! And then it starts happening. I don't want to live the way God wants me to live, and I want to know God better. And then Satan starts fighting, and he wants you to be enslaved to sin. He's going to fight with everything he's got. He's going to go to battle. in your mind. That's where it starts. And these are, well, let me give you the three enemies that you're going to be fighting anyway. The first enemy is your own nature. Yourself. You are probably the worst enemy you have. You ever thought about that? I am my worst enemy. I mess myself up more than Satan. Don't even have to do much work. All he has to do is distract me, which I'm going to talk about that in a second. But it is my sinful nature. Not think about what God wants in my life. Let me tell you, your old nature, your sinful nature, it's not your friend. It's not your friend. It is not your friend. And let me tell you, you don't have to believe everything that you think. I don't have to believe everything that comes to my mind. Have you ever thought about that? Just because you thought about it, that doesn't mean you have to believe it. You see that in so many people. Oh, I am. And they put labels on themselves. I am dumb. I'm stupid. I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm not lovable. I'm not. Those are thoughts that you have believed. Those are lies that we believe. And there is truth that we can believe. Now, Romans chapter 7 and verse 23, just to go back to that, you see, I see in my body that what? There, another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me prisoner to the law of sin. I become a prisoner to what? To sin. You see, Satan doesn't even keep you prisoner. Did you know that? Satan is not your imprisoner. If you belong to God, Satan cannot imprison you. You are not a prisoner of Satan. You become a prisoner of sin. That's very different. Well, I'll tell you what. How many of you are going to the Ephesians class today? Please do. Please do. Because in the Ephesians class today, you're going to see, you're going to learn, and you're going to hear about one of the most difficult doctrines there is in the Bible. And one of the things that you'll hear is about precisely that. Who are we enslaved to? And if we are enslaved to blank, then who paid the ransom and to whom was the ransom paid? Wow. Just think about that. Jesus paid. Who did he pay? I'm not going to tell you. You got to go to class to learn that. That's some deep stuff, let me tell you. So you better go. But I want you to think about this, because you probably have felt like me that things just come into your mind and you become hostage of them, and you want to go somewhere, you want to click, you want to change the channel. It just doesn't work as easy as we think or as we want. Have you ever knowingly? I want you to think about this. Have you ever knowingly, even though you fight yourself, knowingly engaged in a self-destructive behavior? Yeah. You may think, well, no. Yeah. You do things that are wrong for you. You do things that do bad for you. You do things that do not help you. Yet, you know they don't help you. You know they're not good for you. You know you shouldn't do it, and you still what? Do it. We do. We do that. We know better than that, and we defeat ourselves. And the battle is not in the behavior. The battle is in our minds, our old nature, our old habits. Our bad habits start creeping in and coming back, and they're self-defeating. But we still do. I want you to think about that. I don't have to believe everything I think, because the truth is that your mind is lied to all the time, and you have to be careful. Just because something seems to be true, that doesn't make it true. Just because something feels true, that doesn't make it true. Your mind and emotions will often lie to you. You are so fooled by the way you feel and the way you think. I want you to remember that. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Check this out. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You see, your mind on the flesh, your mind in the Spirit. Which one is it? Well, we kind of dance between those two, don't we? It's like left foot and right foot. You put your right foot in, you put your left foot out, and you shake it all about, do the hokey pokey, and next thing you know, you sin. That's it. That's the whole story, right? It's just, how do we do this? But let me tell you, it's not your own nature. There's another enemy that's constantly fighting you, and that's Satan. That's Satan. That's one of the three forces. First, you got to fight your own nature. Number two, you got to fight Satan, right? But let me tell you something. Satan cannot force you, so he uses simple suggestions. That's what he does. And suggestions, we label them as what? Temptations. That's what he does. A temptation is just a suggestion, right? It's not a command. You don't have to do what he says, but he suggests, why don't you do this? And you're like, Your old nature answers, yeah. And your new nature goes like, no, not again. But it's a suggestion, right? Satan is full of suggestions. He's like a suggestion box. And when he comes open, you're in big trouble. Because that's what he does. But he cannot force you. He cannot force you to do anything. He cannot force you. You do everything. Let me ask you. Do you do everything that people suggest? I hope not. Let me suggest something. Don't. You don't do everything that people suggest to you. The same thing, we need to apply that law to Satan. Because he's continually planting negative ideas, negative impressions, negative thoughts. And if we don't wake up, man, let me tell you. Everything that is the exact opposite of God, that's what he wants you to do. Go ahead. Do that. It's okay. Nobody's watching. No one will ever know. It's not going to hurt anyone. It's okay. Anybody else does that. Everybody else does that. And next thing you know, you deserve it. Stand your ground. Tell them something. Defend yourself. Oh, no, you're not going to let them do that to you. You see, all of those are suggestions that constantly Satan is putting in our minds. Gosh. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Now, Paul here is saying, you know what? There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the church in Corinth, and someone has done some really bad things. But just so that Satan doesn't outwit us, we're going to practice forgiveness. Because if we don't practice forgiveness, then we practice other things. Unforgiving brings pride, brings selfishness, brings hate, and brings resentment and anger and all kinds of other stuff. But we are aware of his schemes. We are aware. You should be aware of what he does. He does that. So we then need to be, instead of holding grudges and everything else, just get our minds straight here and know that we're fighting this enemy who's trying to make way too many suggestions. And the third enemy in my mind is the world and its values. The values of this world. The values of this world. The ideas of this world. You see, the suggestions of people. Your old nature suggests one thing because your body wants it. Satan suggests the one thing, that same thing. Why? Because he wants you to be against God. And then the world suggests the same thing because their values do not line up with God's values. Next thing you know, all these three enemies are focused on one thing, getting you out of sync with God. See, we just can't pay attention to that. Think of it. John, 1 John 2:16. All that is in the world, all that is in the world, everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. Think about it. Satisfying your eyes, your needs, your flesh, your body, outside of God's will, does not come from other place but the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Some people have given names to these. They are different. It's just, well, some say the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust and the pride of life. Some people call them your passion, your possessions, and your position. People looking for passions that they shouldn't. People looking for possessions that don't belong to them. And people looking for position in this world. That's what the world teaches. Enjoy it. Passion, you know, do whatever pleases you. Possessions, you got to go after it. You got to have it. And position, you need to step ahead. You need to be all that. Some other people have called it sex, salary, and status, which is probably one of the common things that people are living for nowadays, right? But you have to fight that battle. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Strongholds. We don't use that word very often, right? But strongholds. I want you to think about that. Strongholds. And it says that the power in the Word of God is to demolish arguments, to demolish whatever comes at you. All these ideas that just go against the knowledge of God. You got to fight. It's a wrestling match, man, and you got to pin these thoughts down on the mat. You have to. We have to win this battle. Strongholds. Now, let's think about this for a second, because we have to first recognize the strongholds. If you don't recognize them, then you won't know, right? And we're not talking strongholds like you got this. No, they got you. It's like somebody putting walls around you. It's like somebody putting shackles on you. It's like somebody just putting their press upon you. That's a stronghold. And usually there are lies that I'm trying to believe and act upon in my life. And anytime I believe a lie, remember that all lies come from the devil, who is the father of all lies. Anytime I believe a lie about God, it becomes a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about myself, it becomes a stronghold. Anytime I believe a lie about other people, it becomes a stronghold in my life. Anytime I believe a lie about money, about possessions, about position, just like we said a few minutes ago, it becomes a stronghold in our life, whether our values, whatever it is. See, my family, we were sitting at the table the other day, and we were thinking and discussing a comment that someone made. And it's a very common comment that probably all of us have heard or even said ourselves. And I'm guilty that I've fallen into that trap once or twice. And you see some people who don't care about Jesus, don't care about following God. They don't care. And how nice they have it. So good. Their lives are just put together. You look at other people and their finances and they have all this money. You think, even looking at people, celebrities and sports and athletes, you're like, all that money, making 10, 20, 15, 30, 40 million a year. What do they do with all that money? And you start wondering, you think, what kind of life would that be? And here I am trying to fight because I want to have $1,000 in my account on my savings. And they have it so easy. Hit that button, bro. That's not the way it is. You see, sometimes we look at all this stuff and they're whatever. It's so comfortable. It's so nice. They're having it so good. They don't have it so good. Because I want you to think about the end of the equation. If they don't have Jesus, it will not end pretty for them. It will end pretty for you, no matter if you have 1,000 or not in the bank account. If you are in Christ, you have it better than they do. You just don't know it. Why? Because your eyes are focused and your mind is focused on the wrong thing about life. Because you are believing a lie that if your finances are good, then your life is okay. I'm tired of hearing people fall into a dumb trap like that. I've fallen into it. Not anymore. Don't fall into that trap to think that just because people look like they have this great life without Jesus, and you're thinking, look at me, I can make it a step forward without going 3 steps backwards. They have it better than you without Jesus. How in the heck are you going to believe that lie? But believe it or not, there's a lot of people that sit on these pews that believe that. Just because. Anyway, that was my little lanyard soapbox, whatever you want to call it, right? Those lies become strongholds. And then I start thinking, well, and that's why I need to have 2 jobs, and that's why I need to work 7 days a week, and that's why I need to make more money, that's why I need a raise, that's why I need this, and that's why I need that. And you're fooling yourself, right? You know that. But it's one of those things that even though you know it's for your demise, you just keep going because the lies keep taking hold of our minds. There are some people who the strongholds in their minds is worry. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You see what happened to so-and-so? Oh, my God. It could happen to me. Oh, my God. They're worried all the time. Have you seen people like that? No, don't look at them. Don't look at them, okay? Even if they're here, please, don't. Some people just simply have a stronghold in their brain that's depression. Oh, nothing's going to resolve. Nothing good ever happens to me. I don't have the strength. I can't do that. And I'm not trying to make fun of depression or people in depression, but there's a way out of depression. My God, there's a way. There's a way out of all of that. It becomes a stronghold if you allow it. Resentment, envy, if you allow it, it will become a stronghold in your life. Now, there's two phrases that the Apostle Paul mentions in a verse here that I want to show you. And it's, we take every thought captive and we take them obedient to Christ. Okay? And of course, where is that verse? Where did I put it? There you go. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. I just read it a few minutes ago. There's so much stuff that I just keep. But it says, taking captive every thought to Christ and making them obedient. That's to obey. Bringing every thought to obedience in Christ Jesus. That's very important. You see, you have to have control of your mind. I want you to think about this. The word captive, what does that tell you? I mean, we're at a war. So what are you supposed to do? Take Satan and take him captive? You're not going to do that. Don't try it. Don't try going against him and pin him down to the mat, because you're not going to be able to do it. He won't be pinned down until the end of Revelation. And if you don't believe me, come to the Revelation class. Well, it's in Spanish, but you know. But you're not gonna defeat him. You're not gonna defeat him. God is gonna defeat him. We defeat ourselves. We think by thinking that we defeat him. But I want you to think about this, because we're talking about taking what captive? Our thoughts. That's what you need to be fighting in your mind. The thoughts that come to mind that don't belong in there. The lies that you don't need to be believing. The things that you need to bring to captivity. You need to tie them down. You can't let them just let loose in your mind, right? And then it says bring them to submission. What does that mean? Well, you apprehend something and then you lock it up. You apprehend something, then you lock them up. Bring them to submission. You tell it what to do. You tell your brain. Well, your brain tell your brain. I don't know how that works. But you tell your mind. Your brain tells your mind. Your mind tells your brain. I don't know. But you tell it. You got to tell them what the truth. We take every thought captive and we make him obedient in Christ. Psalm 119:112. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Your heart should be set on the decrees of God, on the Word of God, to fulfill it each and every time, all the time. And I want to go to the last step. I must focus my mind on the right things. I must have a focus on the right things. Okay? So I need to focus my mind. And I'm going to give you three things that you should be focusing your mind in. Number one, you need to be thinking and focusing on a person whose name is Jesus. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. If you think about him enough, that's good for you. You'll develop a habit of thinking about Jesus and thinking about Christ as you go through the day. That's how you know what you need to do. That's how you know where your thoughts need to be. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, remember Jesus Christ. Keep in mind Jesus Christ. Keep in mind Jesus Christ. Number two, not just think about Jesus, but also think about others. You need to think about others. Notice that I have not and I will not put up your think about yourself. Because that is selfish, right? You need to think about others. Think about others. You need to be thinking about Jesus and thinking about others. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. It's amazing. Not looking to your own interests. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of whom? Of the others, of others, of other people. You need to look out for other people's interests, for their interests, not yours. You know, just being altruistic and thinking about other people, intentionally thinking about Jesus, and intentionally in your mind constantly think about other people and putting them first. Do you do that? Do you put other people first? Yeah, you do, right? I hope so. That's what we need to be doing, all right? In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, how we can encourage one another, how we can help one another to live right and to do the right thing. You see, if you start thinking about others, you don't have to think about yourself. Allow God to take care of yourself. Amen? You just think about how you can be an agent of God in thinking about others. And number three, and last but not least, you need to be thinking about eternity. See, you can't focus your eyes on the earthly things. Not on earthly things. You have to keep your mind on things above. And exactly what Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 says. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Who sets it? Yourself. You have to do that. You have to fight the battle. You have to start thinking of heaven. Yeah, you see, somebody said, some people are so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. I don't believe that. Because a person that is truly, their mindset is set on the things above, on heaven, in the right way, they will do so much good on this earth. Because they'll know what's up there, and they know who's up there, and they know what needs to be done down here. I don't believe that. It's impossible that a person that is mindful about the eternity, about the eternal things of God, that will be no good on this earth. Actually, that's what God wants here. God likes people to be down here with a mentality up there, not set down here. The truth is that heavenly minded people can do so much good. So much good. And I want to show you one more verse. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. How many of you believe that God is preparing something spectacular for you? Well, that means that you love Him. Because it said there that He is preparing. That all these things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, things that you won't even imagine, are the things that He is preparing for who? For those who love Him. So you better be loving on Him, because He's got a bunch of goodies for you. But don't just do it for the goodies. Right? Come on. Let's not be like that. I want you to think about this. Look at how many of you are amazed when you look at waterfalls, when you look at the skies and you see the clouds and you start making stuff up and looking at clouds and you start seeing things up there. You know, I always laugh because Bill always tells me, you know, that when he was a kid, he used to do that, right? Just lay there in the field and just look at the clouds and, hey, look. Hey, it's a something, right? Whatever he saw. He sees things, but that's another story. But he saw things in the cloud, and he enjoyed that. And I remember one time while we were building this building, we were sitting out by the fountain, and we were having lunch. And all of a sudden, one of us, I don't remember who, looked up at the sky and said, what is that? Huh? Next thing you know, Jesus. I love Jesus. And a cross. And all kinds of stuff. Man, we were like laying down up there. Like we had lunch, and we're like, ah. That is so beautiful. And you see the wonders of God, even if it was just a plane, okay? It was a plane with smoke that did it. I know. But isn't it wonderful when God does things? When you look at a waterfall, when you look at a mountain, when you look at the snow caps, when you look at the dawn, when you look at the dusk, and you look at the sun, the moon. And guess what? All of that, he did it in 7 days. Actually, 6. Now, can you imagine how much greater, how much wonderful, how much more beautiful is heaven going to be when he's taken so long to get it ready for you and me? Oh, my God. I don't think about that. And I'm like, wow. And you and I are here nitpicking through our lives and just putting our minds on earthly things and problems in this life. What is wrong with us? See, we need to feed our minds with the truth every single day. We need to free our minds because there's a lot of destructive things and that are after us. You don't have to believe every thought that comes to mind. You don't have to take all of Satan's suggestions. You can change the channel. You know, when you're watching TV and you don't like what you're watching, what do? Blink. You change the channel. When something comes to your mind and you know it's not good for you, what do? Switch it. Go somewhere else. Switch your mind. Go to another channel. Come on. See, it takes a lot of work, but I want you to be thinking these things that I just said today. I know there's a bunch of them, but I want you to be thinking about these things this week. I want you to focus on feeding your mind. I want you to focus on freeing your mind. I want you to focus on the right things in your mind. You know, and I'm going to give you one more F because I'm so gracious, so plentiful. I told you, you need to what? You need to feed your mind. You need to free your mind. You need to focus your mind. But you also need to do one more thing. Forget all that other stuff. Forget all that other stuff, okay? Forget all that other stuff because you have a Father who takes care of you. Oh, my God, so many Fs. You got 5 now. Isn't it amazing? And you don't want to get an F. Let us pray.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.